to play in the Super Bowl against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Vernon hands the Lynch left side. Finds a little bit of a hole. Keeps his leg moving. He's across the 40. Midfield. 45. He's on the run, Lynch. 40. Pushes him at 35. Look at him go. He's down to 20. 15. He could go. He is going to go. Touchdown, Seahawks. Oh, my word. A 67-yard run. Marshawn Lynch. Unbelievable. The beast is alive and well.
Wide receivers to either side. Russell takes the snap. He drops back.
To the middle. It's intercepted. Going the other way. He's out across the 30, the 40, midfield, down the far sideline. Is he going to outrun everybody? He is. It's Bobby Wagner from the goal line. 99 yards. He lays down in the end zone. Somebody bring him oxygen.
It has been decided maybe since the safety in the first quarter. 12, they're bringing the trophy home. Your Seahawks Super Bowl 48 champion.
Hello and welcome back to the We Talk Seahawks Rookie Watch podcast. We're coming in hot off a very disappointing loss this week, but not much at the hands of our rookies. I don't think we can fault the performances we've seen from them. So we'll get into that tonight, and we'll look a little bit ahead to our game against the Cardinals. And we've got a spicy little look at possibly redrafting some of our picks at the end today as well. And we'll see how that goes. But yeah, over to you, James. How are you feeling, pal? You good?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Like you said, you took the words out of my mouth in terms of how I was going to intro myself onto this pod. It was a disappointing loss to the Bengals, but I look at our list of rookies and I think none of them had anything to do with it. And I think most of them tried their best and did everything that they could have done to help us win the game, especially Spoon, JSN, all those kind of guys having excellent games again. So it's through no fault of our rookie class that we lost this week. So in terms of rookie watch, really positive again, another really positive week for the rookies, and excited to see what we're thinking.
Yeah, so we'll start going through it and we'll dig up what we can from the game regarding our rookies. And we often talk a little bit about any injury stuff going into our next game that might be affecting our rookies. But actually, I think we're relatively healthy. I think Charbonnet's had a bit of an, I think it was a hamstring niggle. Don't think he's expected to miss time, but he is something to consider. He was a guy that was very underutilized in our game last week. And I do wonder whether he picked that up during the game, because it was unthinkable that you don't use your power back against a defense that struggle against power backs to this, you know, to the extent that the Bengals do. However, we'll come at this from a different angle this week in terms of injuries. We're going to look at injuries to our starting players, opening opportunities for our rookies potentially. And I'm going to start with Evan Brown and the slight issue he's had this week. If he is to miss time, how confident are you in Mr. Oluwatimi, James?
Fairly confident. Again, as we said kind of last week, it's hard to judge, you know, when we did our bye week grading, how to judge Oluwatimi. I think in the limited time that we've seen him on the field, he's looked okay. He's looked decent, looked solid, looked like a dependable guy that can come in when you need him to, and it won't all fall apart when he comes in. Obviously, he won the award coming out of college for the best center, didn't he, at Michigan? I can't remember the name of the award. So he's obviously a talented player, and we were all saying how much of a steal it was from where we got him in on day three. So I always want to see our rookies play football, and nothing against Evan Brown, because actually statistics wise, and if you look at PFF and stuff like that, he's actually been one of the best centers in football so far through the season, grades wise and holding up wise. But you always like to see the guys that you've drafted play and get to see your first looks at them. So if Evan Brown can't go, I think it's an opportunity that is needed. These guys need to see the field at some point. You know, you can't just kind of say, oh, well, I don't really trust Olu because, you know, he was a day three pick, so I just want Evan Brown to play. As much as I don't mind Evan Brown being out there, I do want to see some Oluwatimi. I want to see him has to go and play 60 minutes. You're the centre for a game. See how you do. See what we've got there. See how kind of, you know, far off he is. Or it may well be that he's ready to go right now and push Evan Brown to be the centre and you know, force some headaches for Pete and the guys in terms of who they go with. So I will be confident that Ollie will come in and say, you know what, I can push for a starting role here, and I think he'll play well. And if it's against the Cardinals this week, I mean, with all due respect to the Cardinals, in fact, no respect to the Cardinals because I don't like the Cardinals. I don't know why I said all due respect. They're pretty crap. So if he doesn't hold up against the Cardinals, then I'd be a little bit concerned. Yes, he is still a rookie, but I think it's a perfect opportunity for to, you know, perfect situation this week if he is asked to come in and just say, yeah, it's the Cardinals, you know, we can see what we've got with him in this game, and it shouldn't affect whether we win the game or not if Olu's in at centre. So, yeah, I'm confident.
Good stuff. Yeah, I agree with everything there. I think the big injury question mark that might open some rookie doors this week, if that's a phrase, it is now. Anyway, is possibly the wide receiver room. Will DK be fit? Will Tyler be fit? You'd expect to see DK out there because he's always playing through injuries. Tyler with a hamstring and the age that he's at now, I wouldn't be surprised to see him wrapped in cotton wool a bit, limited snaps. And does that mean more Bobo?
I thought you were going to say, does that mean more JSN? Yes. Does that mean more Bobo? A little bit of a curveball. See, this is where I'm kind of on the fence. In 50% of me says, yes, it will mean more JSN. It will mean more Bobo naturally. If receivers are out, they're the guys who need to come and step in. But then we've talked about the tight end usage all season. If DK couldn't go, if a Lockett couldn't go, would that then mean that they go back to these heavy tight end sets that would again maybe limit the opportunities that JSN or Bobo would get because they're now going to focus heavily on the tight ends? It'd be interesting to say if they can't go, who do they not trust more, but would they trust JSN and Bobo enough to say, okay, we're not going to go to the tight ends, you know, you two are the game plan this week, you know, we're going to put our faith in you, we're not just going to abandon the wide receivers because DK or Lockett can't go, or will they go, you know what, we need to be a bit more, make sure we win the game, like we said this all week, make sure we just win the game instead of forcing balls to people that we'd like to get the ball to. Would we just say, you know what, let's just win the game, let's just go to the tight ends, Fan, Disley, Parkinson, guys that we trust, and run those heavy tight ends, let's run the football more. It's interesting. I think naturally it will force more opportunities, it has to do, and I think this is potentially GSN's opportunity if Lockett can't go. And do you know what, even if Lockett and DK can go, with the Cardinals being as poor as they are, this has to be JSN's best opportunity, potentially with an Abe Lucas coming back as well, whether they'll rush him back this week and maybe look ahead to the Browns and say, now we'll save you for that, maybe. But, I mean, against this Cardinals defense that's Buda Baker and nobody else, and is Buda Baker really that bothered about, you know, putting too much effort in? Is he going to want to get traded before the deadline? You know, there's talk around that at this moment in time. So how committed is he going to be? Is he just going to stay healthy and wrap him up in cotton wool for potential, you know, to go to the next team being in a fully healthy position? So it's a great opportunity for all of our receivers, JSN, Bobo, to get some really good looks this week against the Cardinals. And it feels like after the monstrosity on the offensive of the week gone by, it feels like that this could be JSN or Bobo's big chance to really explode onto the scene.
Yeah, very good. I think when you look at how much we've used Jake Bobo already in screens, not necessarily in screens, but he certainly always seems to be blocking and chipping and doing more than just being out there baiting defenders, you know, around to suit the look. He's really well utilized already. In fact, this week he was the highest rated wide receiver from PFF, and he had that big play he ripped off, but it was in his other actions and things, that the selfless stuff that he does, and the separation he keeps getting, things like that. They all add up to a really good overall rounded score. This week we might see him out there doing his thing, his selfless stuff, and getting a couple more targets. And I think he deserves nothing more than that.
No,
so
He blocked for Ken's touchdown, didn't he? He was the lead blocker on Ken's touchdown, and he obviously caught that ball. It got rocked for me. Like, say, as we went, we talked about the red zone this week on our other pods. Like, get Bobo blocking in the red zone as much as you can, because that guy loves block. There's not many receivers or players general, receivers general, that love blocking. Bobo's out there going, you could just see it. He's like, yes, I'm out there. I'm playing football. This is my chance to shine. Don't care what I'm being asked to do. I'll go and run over some 350-pound linebacker if you tell me to. Just let me go and play. And I love it. Just get him doing it more often.
On that note, when he took that hit last game and the helmet-to-helmet contact, and he got up smiling, I then realised that we've now fully replaced Luke Wilson, and we have a new crazy Dave on the roster now, who is just completely tapped. And you know,
Did you see him walking back on the touchline, going amongst the players, laughing, smiling? He's obviously so confident. He's already such a big part of that locker room, just going, yeah, laughing about it, laughing to all the players. You can just tell how loved he is and how much of a unique character he is. So get him the ball, man.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's really fun. I'm going to chuck a little question in here. This is another curveball for you, right? This is a situational question. Yeah, get ready to knock it out of the park. Here's the situation, right? Fourth quarter against the Cardinals. We're up by 21 points. It's 35-14. Going into the fourth quarter. Game's on ice, right? You can pick two starters to just stand down in favor of getting some snaps for some rookies. I'm gonna start by telling you mine to lead you in, and you can pick one for yourself. Okay, so who are you? The question essentially is, who are you standing down in favour of giving a quarter to a rookie who deserves a few extra snaps? I'm going to say Jerick Reed. If we're that comfortable, I'm sitting quandary, I'm giving him a quarter off, and I'm going to trot Reed out there and let the angry elf go and hit some fools. That's my choice. I think we've not quite seen as much as we'd like outside of special teams. I think he's got everything he needs. I think that defense is cooking. And without Quandre, if he was to get injured, I'd want Jerick Reed to be able to come in and seize it. So if we're comfortable, fourth quarter, I'm sending out Jerick Reed for some work experience. Who's your choice?
It kind of has to be bench Ken for Charbonnet for me. It's an obvious pick, but you just wrap Ken in cotton wool at that point and go and say, you know what, for one last quarter of football. And by that point, it may well have been, you know, the second sort of the third quarter that this happens in. But say it's the last quarter, just give Charbonnet that last quarter. Easy running back one, and it might well be Drew Lock in at quarterback as well at that point. So just go and run the football, do your RPOs, get creative, and give Charbonnet 15 minutes. I know he's not going to be on the field obviously for 15 minutes, but go and give him that 15 minute span to go and say, right, you be the running back one. We wrap Ken in cotton wool for a big game against the Browns next week against a tough D-line that is going to hit him, that is going to rough him up. Go and put Charbonnet in and see if he can break that elusive streak of scoring a touchdown, get him that touchdown feeling back, let him go and show to everyone in the Seahawks world that this is what I can do. Look, I you can trust me. If Ken goes down, I can come in and be your man. I can take up the load. It's the obvious pick. Obviously, another guy maybe in there is like a Cameron Young for a Jerren Reed. Maybe you sit Jerren Reed out. Maybe you put Cameron Young in. But the obvious one there for me is Charbonnet for Ken Walker.
Yeah, it's cool that you mentioned Cameron Young, because he was another guy I was going to give an honorable mention to. Mm. He's a guy who's been having sort of 20 snaps a game. And he's been fantastic when he's been out there. He's been very reliable. The cool thing about Cameron Young going into nose, potentially, if we're in a very strong position, is actually that it doesn't have to be Jerren Reed that you sit. Jerren Reed can get some snaps at three tech, and you know, you can let Cameron Young go in and, you know, rotate the three and rest them a bit. You know, it doesn't have to be one specific player. So I think actually Cameron Young getting a few more would be good. There's another thing you mentioned there with Charbonnet. Charbonnet actually would be a really logical pick because of the way he runs and the way we like to run down the clock in the fourth quarter. He suits that well. But another guy who suits that really well is Oluwatimi. If he wasn't to start the game, one of his big strengths is in run blocking. So you could essentially have a bit of a combo play there where perhaps you've beat up that Cardinals team you know, over the first three quarters, and you throw out a guy there who is just an expert at creating gaps up the gut, and a guy who's, you know, an expert at exploiting them. That could be a wonderful situation for us, actually, thinking about it. So we're going to move on to section two. And section two is going to be something a little different that we've never done on the Rookie Watch podcast. We're usually very positive about our rookies, and we're defensive of them, and we try to be a bit constructive with our takes. However, this week we're going to potentially look at redrafting, and the redraft is going to be for our first three picks. And on future Rookie Watch pods, I may well pull up similar things for our other positions. But tonight we're looking at first pick, second pick, third pick. Those players are Devon Witherspoon, Jackson Smith-Njigba, and Derek Hall. And the premise of this redraft is going to be that James can pick one of the four or five players drafted after our pick as his swap over. So, for instance, your first question, James, is would you be keeping Devon Witherspoon? I don't know if this is going to be a surprise. Or would you be taking Tyree Wilson, Christian Gonzalez, Anthony Richardson, and Bijan Robinson? And I will, just before you answer this question, point out that I had completely forgotten that Gonzalez and Richardson are essentially on injured reserve and probably don't really stand up to comparison at this point. But over to you, James.
Yeah, obviously in the pre-draft process, Tyree Wilson was one of my massive draft crushes, as anyone will have listening to this pod will have known from that point. Obviously has not worked out for him at all so far in Arizona. I don't have, as long as he's not on IR, is he on IR?
I don't think Tyree Wilson's on IR.
No, well then I've probably jinxed it for this week then. I'm not swapping him for Tyree Wilson. Gonzalez is an excellent corner, but obviously it is done for the year. He's the obvious one. Obviously, Bijan is an amazing player, but we don't need a running back realistically. Anthony Richardson, again, another one of our pre-draft sort of heartthrobs. You know, looked for all the world that he was potentially going to be a Seattle Seahawks. Pete Carroll loved him. Big sort of, you know, headlines coming out of the combine that Richardson spent lots of time with the Seahawks, blah, 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 blah. And I think if Witherspoon was off the board and if other stars aligned, Anthony Richardson may well have been drafted by the Seahawks. But the only one there that, again, out of those four players that would make the most sense to swap for would be Christian Gonzalez. And I'm going to have to say no, because obviously I think Devon Witherspoon is a better player. And obviously Gonzalez is on IR. But would I swap Witherspoon for a Gonzalez? Not for me. I think Witherspoon is the better all-round contributor. Gonzalez is an excellent lockdown corner, but Witherspoon offers you even more than just being a lockdown corner with his stuff in the run game, the way he hits, the energy. He's just a complete unique prospect. Gonzalez is just an excellent corner. I'm not going to swap Witherspoon for any of those guys, no.
Good choice. Neither would I. For me, the only one on there that really intrigues me is Richardson. But actually now with the way our defense has really come to the fore, my ideal quarterback is probably a slightly less flashy quarterback. It would be someone who can, you know, prioritize ball security, isn't going to be upset if we run a lot of the ball, and has the arm to rip off the you know, the deep ball, which he does, but decision making for Richardson is still a big question mark. And the fact that he put himself on injured reserve by just running into brick walls, you know, they build him a bit more sturdy in the NFL in comparison to college. So yeah, I would also be keeping Witherspoon. So the next one's Jackson Smith-Njigba, and this one's a really interesting situation, actually, because the players that were picked after Jackson Smith-Njigba, at least some of them, represent very, very poignant positional needs. So James, the question is, are you keeping Jackson Smith-Njigba, or are you taking Peter Skoronski, tackle slash guard from Northwestern, Paris Johnson, the towering tackle, Joey Porter Jr., who's had a very good start to life in the NFL at corner, Lucas Van Ness, the infinitely talented edge rusher, or Nolan Smith, who made his way to the Eagles, edge rusher?
This is actually really tough.
That's the hardest one, I think.
It's the hardest one. I love Jackson Smith and Jigba. We all do. We he's so talented, but you can't see. You know, it hasn't worked to this point yet. I think it will still work in the future. But I think the two guys that immediately come after him are my biggest headaches for me, and that's Peter Skoronski and Paris Johnson Jr. Now, Joey Porter Jr., obviously, again, very talented corner, but we've got Devin Witherspoon, again, similar to with the Christian Gonzalez thing. I wouldn't swap him for him. Lucas Van Ness, I like him, but then I think that would stunt the development of maybe a Boye Mafe, maybe a Derek Hall. I like Derek Hall. I just like his story. I want to root for Derek Hall, so I don't want to... I love him too much to see him go, so I'm not going to... Might not be the wisest decision, but I'm not going to swap him for Lucas Van Ness. And I was actually in the camp of feeling that Lucas Van Ness was slightly overmocked, slightly overrated coming out the draft process. I think he's a good player. I think 15, in my opinion, was still a little bit too high for him, so I wouldn't have swapped for him at that point. And then Nolan Smith, again, very talented player. Yeah, that's a tough one because I do like Nolan Smith as well, but I wouldn't swap him for Nolan Smith. But Peter Skoronski and Paris Johnson Jr. are causing me a bit of a headache with this one. Skoronski more than Johnson Jr. Johnson Jr. is kind of solely playing offensive tackle at this moment in time for the Bears, whereas Skoronski adds that unique blend of playing at tackle, but he's also actually been most of his football at left guard so far this season for the Titans, and he's been excellent. Obviously, he's had I think he had appendix surgery so far this season. He's been out for a couple of weeks. But I think he graded amongst the highest or the highest rookie in week one at left guard. And left guard is a position that when I look at what we've got at left guard, I'm like, we could really do with a Peter Skoronski. I mean, how much of a complete offensive line would we have if we added Skoronski to that left guard position, Cross at left tackle, Lucas right tackle, Brown, Bradford. I mean, all of a sudden... I'm trying to work out, would Skoronski at left guard make our offense sort of better than having Jackson Smith and Jigba? And that is so hard. That's so, it's like trying to play like Madden franchise mode, doing the smart thing or doing like the sexy thing with your team. And it's like,
Well, before you decide, I think if you look at how our season's gone, you'd make that trade in a heartbeat because both tackles went down. He could have played there. One tackle's come back, he could have played the other one. We've had an absolute revolving door for our guards. He could have filled in there too. You know, when the two tackles are back, he slots in at either guard position instead of Haynes, you know, or, you know, anywhere you put him on that defense, anywhere you put him on that offensive line, he improves in the interior. Jury's out on whether he improves our starting potential at either tackle, but as a covering player that can play at guard, that actually feels like it completes that picture for me. So I sympathize with how hard you're finding it.
Do you know what? I think I'm going to put my smart cap on, my thinking cap on. I think I am going to have to swap JSN for Skoronski because I think talented offensive linemen are a lot harder to come about than talented receivers. I think it's easy to pick up a talented receiver. And obviously you've got the nature of having DK and Lockett as elite receivers already here anyway. Then you've got your Bobos of the world. Adding Skoronski to that O-line, like you say, with all the situations we've had on the O-line and just for the future as well, there's so many talented receivers coming out of the draft next year that we could pick up if we wanted to. There's three excellent ones at Washington to name, but a few if we needed another wide receiver three. And at the minute, JSN is a wide receiver three, so you swap in a wide receiver three for an elite left guard, elite offensive lineman. I think you have to, from a franchise perspective. I think if we added Skoronski on that O-line, we'd be, you know, we'd be serious contenders. Gino would have no problems that, you know, he could hold on to that ball as long as he wanted if Peter Skoronski was there at left guard. So I think it's hard, but I think it makes sense from a franchise building perspective. So I'm going to have to say yes.
Yeah, and I would agree, actually, but only with that kind of context of how our season's gone. I think if our offensive line had been healthy since the start of the year, I don't think I'd even entertain this. And also, if our offensive line had been healthier and we didn't have as many tight end sets, he might have absolutely, you know, set, you know, set fire to himself, and you're running around that field looking like an absolutely elite wide receiver. So circumstances have meant that Skoronski looks like the better pick. But I think in the future, we would look back on this and laugh at ourselves. So at the end of the day, these are hot takes based on what we've seen so far, and we can only go off that. So third one then, and I think this one's open shut. However, there is an interesting look forward with our roster and how it looks over the next couple of years to consider with this one. So we took Derek Hall with our first pick in the second round. Following him, Sam Laporta went off the board. He went to the Lions, I think, and he's had a really solid start to life in the NFL. Keanu Benton, Antonio Johnson, and Matthew Bergeron were the next off the list. So we've got the edge that we picked, Derek Hall. We've got Sam Laporta at tight end, Keanu Benton, defensive line, Antonio Johnson, safety, and Matthew Bergeron, tackle. Would you trade Derek Hall for any of those subsequent picks?
Antonio Johnson, no, because I like what we've got at safety. I don't think we'd need an extra safety in that group. Bergeron at offensive tackle, again, I wouldn't have him over Charles Cross or Abe Lucas. Benton, forgive me, I don't know really how well he's started. I don't know too much about him. But, I mean, interior defensive line player, we've looked excellent on the interior of the defensive line anyway. So would he come in and sort of have a better impact to what we've already got? If he may well have done. But for me, looking at it, it is between Derek Hall and Sam Laporta. I think Sam Laporta has been excellent for the Lions so far this season. Really, really productive tight end. The problem is, you know, we just don't value tight ends. We know this in Seattle. We don't use them that particularly well. We never really have under Pete Carroll or ever in general, really. You know, we've not been blessed with amazing tight ends and we've not sort of ever really valued the position. So, but then you say tight end position is quite insecure at this moment in time going forward from a roster building perspective. Obviously, you've got the contract situation with Noah Fant at the end of the season. He's scheduled to be a free agent at the end of the season. Disley's coming up to his contract looming in the future as well. You've got to make a decision on who you want to pay. I think Kobe Parkinson's got like one more year on his rookie deal, I think, potentially. It might even be up this year. I can't think.
I think it might be up this year.
I think it is actually. So you've got to make a decision on him. And Sam Laporta is looking like a really excellent tight end. It looks like he's been the most productive tight end out of this rookie class so far in a tight end class that was, you know, a really strong one with your Michael Mayers, your Luke Musgraves, the Buffalo Bills guy. I can't think of his name now. Name evades me. It'll come back to me. But a really strong tight end class. Dalton Kincaid, that's the one. So he's looking like he's been the most productive out of the lot so far. But with the way we value tight ends, edge is just too important of a depth piece. It's probably our weakest spot on the defense, edge, and we need all the help we can get. And like I say, I love Derek Hall. I love his story, and I love the potential mold of clay that you've got in Derek Hall that you can build into a really, really talented pass rusher. So I'm going to have to say it. I would love Sam Laporta on the team, but Derek Hall is too important at a depth position for me to say, well, we've got three decent tight ends anyway. I can live without Sam Laporta. We need Derek Hall.
Yeah, good. I like it. I feel the same. I think on the subject of Derek Hall, he's one of the guys during this rookie watch series that we've not got into massively. And it's possibly because he hasn't had a real breakout flashy game. But I think what he has been for us is ultra reliable and a perfect scheme fit in terms of what would be missing if one of our edges was unavailable for a game. And by that, I mean, when you look at Nwosu and when you look at Boye Mafe, what you're getting is an edge setter first. You've got a physical edge guy that can stuff the run and create a perimeter, but also has a fantastic skill set for rushing the passer as well. Everything we've done well with our defensive line this year has been built around having a first choice defensive line. The guys right at the top of the depth sheet are run stuffers and pass rushers, all of them. And when he rotates in, we lose nothing in terms of the scheme fit. And that's only going to help him in the long run because he's going to get a lot of exposure this year. And I still wouldn't be surprised to see him notch maybe 5 sacks this year, which I think would be superb for the amount of snaps he's getting. So he's doing a superb job when he gets on the field. And I think it's an upward trend for him and he's going to do really well. So I wouldn't trade him. Not with the 5 that were picked after him. Perhaps there were some guys above that maybe could have fallen to us that we'd maybe scratch our heads over more. But no, the guy's taken after him. I think we wouldn't have picked them. So, well, that was really interesting. That was a different angle. We'll try and throw that in again later in the season. Maybe the same players, maybe some different ones. But we'll have another look at that later in the year. Mm. So, our final segment, we're going to look at our first and second year players. We've got our rookie year, our guys in their rookie year now, and the guys who are in their second year. And we're both going to discuss the player who we think is most likely to step up from now. So maybe Spoon is exempt from this because he's already had his breakout. So who is the next breakout from those two classes? Who would you be picking, James?
Ooh, next breakout. This is hard. There's a few that are definitely on the cusp. When you throw in the second year guys, like I say, I look at Cross, Maffei. What Maffei's already started to break out. We know Cross is his lead. We know Walker doesn't need to break out anymore. He already has. Same with Lucas. Bryant is always kind of teetered on the edge of potentially locking down a starting spot, and then he's been on IR for the past few weeks, got an injury problem that set him back. And because of the play of Trey Brown's and other corners that have come in, you know, it looks like he might struggle to get back into the lineup playing regularly. Tariq, obviously, we know Tariq Smith is no longer on the team, but neither is Bo Melton, and Derek Young is still injured as well. So I
think Ty Smith might be back on practice squad.
Oh, is he?
Actually, because we did release him, but I think he wasn't snapped up and we re-signed him. Whether that's still the case, I'm not sure, but we certainly re-signed him to practice squad.
Yeah, fair enough then. Maybe a Derek Hall is about to turn a corner, become a really, really good sort of starting to get the sacks coming up. Again, Charbonnet. It's really hard to Cameron Young, but Jaron Reed's playing too good of football at the minute to keep him off the field. Again, same with Jarrett Reed, but I think his time will come eventually. Bobo is hard to pinpoint. Maybe a Hall. It's not a sexy one, but maybe a Derek Hall. I think he is close to turning a corner and really kind of starting to break out. He's playing excellent football. It's just those sacks that aren't coming yet. And I think once those sacks start coming, like you said, if he gets 5-6 sacks, I think that is still potentially well in his realms of possibility this season. So I think he is the most ready to kind of, you know, explode onto the scene a little bit out of the guys that already haven't. So maybe Derek Hall.
Superb. Yeah, I'm going to mention a guy who we've rolled into our second year class just because his emergence has been held back massively by injury. He's played more snaps and more games this year than any of his previous years with us, and that's Trey Brown. And some people may listen to this and think, how can a guy who was our best defender last game be looking at being, you know, the next breakout player? But when I say this, I'm coming at it from an angle of, you know, Trey Brown was not a lock to play that corner position this year. He's starting to really edge out all of his competition. And every time he puts on the Seahawks jersey, he just seems to be making big, important plays at important times in games. If you look back to his first interception, he intercepted it in our end zone, and he allowed the wide receiver to appear open before sweeping like a vulture on that ball and picking it. It was a superb bit of confidence in his own ability, instincts, and speed. And then when you look at the way he took that interception against Jamar Chase, one of the elite, truly elite wide receivers in this league, the way he timed his turn, the ball hit him square in the numbers, you know, it was choreographed to perfection. This is a guy who's ascending. And I think as much as we hyped Reek Woolen last year, and we're hyping Devon Witherspoon now, I think by the end of the season we might be, you know, singing a song and doing a dance about Trey Brown as well. So I think that's a guy who is not reached his height. I think there's more to come from him, and I think we're sat in a great position in our defensive back room.
It's so scary. Like you say, I know obviously people might be thinking, oh, Trey Brown, he was picked 3 years ago. Yes, but his entire first season was a write-off. Second season, you know, very limited snaps, again, a lot of injuries. It feels like this is his first extended look at Trey Brown. This feels like his rookie season. Similar to Daryl Taylor when he was drafted, entire first year wiped off. It felt like his second year was your first kind of rookie season. So this is what it feels like with Trey Brown. It feels like this is our first extended look at him. And my God, with Spoon, Tariq, all these guys on the secondary, and now all of a sudden Trey Brown, oh yeah, he's a pretty good player as well. It's so scary, the talent that is. It's not stopping.
Yeah, and I'll say one thing as well. I put this on Twitter the other day and a lot of people liked it. One of my very few tweets that people actually like and retweet, to be honest with you. A lot of them are hot takes that don't go anywhere. But I mentioned that we're currently lining up in our backfield with runner-up defensive rookie of the year from last year. This year's odds-on favourite for rookie of the year, Devon Witherspoon, and the NFL's fifth-ranked corner currently in Trey Brown. And Trey Brown's currently fifth-ranked corner in the league, having missed a game through injury, and we've had a bye week. So the stats accrued for the other corners. He's done it with two less games. So that's the three. Crazy.
You can't get better than that. You cannot get better than that. I mean, like you said, the talent on this secondary and this corner group just doesn't seem to stop coming for us. And it's fantastic because we've had to deal with years post-Legion of Boom era with some horrendous cornerback play, some horrendous cornerback players. I don't need to mention names. I think you all know who I'm talking about if you were following the team during those years. You know, something that you might find in your garden, there's a clue. But Trey Brown, I mean, I just love him. Again, another one of these franchise guys, locker room guys that just everyone loves. Everyone loves to see him do well, like Bobo. Get more interceptions in the hands of Trey Brown. More Brown, please. More Bobo, more Brown. I mean, every time he's on the field, he's hitting, he's making plays on the football. And that pick against Jamar Chase, just perfect technique. Boxed him out to the sideline, gets his head back round, finds the football, perfect. If that's Tariq, if that's Devon, you know, we're singing his praises, writing home about it. So we've got to do the same with Trey Brown. This guy isn't just a backup depth piece in our cornerback group. He might have to find that role because of the superstar talent of Tariq Woolen and Devon Witherspoon. But in his own right, this is a very, very good corner that 31 other teams in the NFL would happily start as one of their cornerback ones or quarterback twos in their sort of packages and for their season. So we're so blessed with talent at this cornerback group, and it's about time we've earned it. We've endured some poor cornerback play, so to have these corners playing for us now, it's like I said all season, I don't mind when the defense comes on the field now because it's just so electric. I love seeing it. So big up Trey Brown. He's had to wait and wait and wait, and now he's finally healthy. Now he's finally getting extended looks of playing time. He's taking it with both hands. Big play, Trey. What a player, man.
Big play, Trey, indeed. Well, that's going to end us for this week. I think we're now looking forward to that game with the Cardinals. We've spoken a little bit about who we think is going to, you know, feature and who we'd probably look to see more from if we get ourselves into the position we hope to be in. So hopefully next week, James, you join me on here and we can talk all about possibly JSN or Charbonnet's first touchdown, a monster day for Bobo. Insert name of rookie and exceptional day. But until then, we'll say go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, everyone.